For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. And let's pray. Father, you've done so much for us. You've made so much available to us when you saved us. Please, help us, Lord, tonight. Give us understanding so we can use more of what you've given us. And Father, we just ask this, please, for your glory and your honor tonight. Strengthen us as your people, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Keep your Bible open to 2 Timothy and just listen to me for a second. We have a society that is living in fear, anxiety, and depression. I don't know if you realize it or not, but Brother Eric DeMassa, he and his wife sit over here on Sunday morning. He is a pharmacist for CVS and has been for years. And I asked him this morning in Sunday school, I said, the stats are, how many people in America are on depression drugs? Some type of medicine for depression. And when you look up the stats, it's 1 in 6. 1 out of every 6 people is not depressed, on depression medication. I asked Eric this morning, I said, what would you say to those stats as a pharmacist? He said, I think those are low. He said, you can't imagine how much depression medication I deal in every day. It's major. It's major. The medical world says if you've got a problem, we've got a pill. Our society is drug crazed and everyone is encouraged to take medication. Ritalin, that they're putting children on, I don't know if you know this or not, but it's the same ingredients as meth. It's just less. It's also goes Ritalin, what they put kids on in school, also goes back to LSD. It's an LSD-based drug. It's mind-altering, okay? Then add this to it. So we got kids on Ritalin. They're drugging children. And then include that with the damage that's caused by vaccinations. There is, and watch this, I'm not saying getting a vaccination for the flu is bad, but if you'll do your own research, there's no research that it works. If anything, there is more research showing hospitalization of people. There was 2 just last month. I mean, people on breathing machines, they got a flu shot and poof. It's because of the base that the medicine's in. They're not seeing how people react to it. So at any rate, I didn't say it's sinful. I'm just saying when you put the vaccinations that they're doing children to babies, they're vaccinating babies at, I think it's 3 weeks. And did you know that there's 3 vaccinations that are tied to SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome? Most of the SIDS are within 3 days of the vaccination. And when one of our children had seizures as an infant, none of the rest of our kids got vaccinated until they were 5. And after 5, all the dangerous vaccinations are not considered needed anymore. So it's something to think about. I do have a lot of information on it, but I do pass that on. As our nation's religion changes from Christianity to humanism, drugs become the answer according to modern education and scholars. But according to them and the world, God and His Word are only for those who are already mentally ill. In other words, you go to church, you read the Bible because you can't support yourself and God's a crutch. That's how the world views it. The Christianity and faith is for mentally weak people. And that's been obviously all over the media. Yet, you learn as a child of God that drugs are damaging our... God never damages... Take any society in the world you want, and the Bible has only helped it, has only helped that society. All right? Now, as our American culture doesn't like to retain God in their knowledge, you're watching God give our nation over to a reprobate mind. Romans chapter 1. We have males who won't be a father to their children, parents who won't properly discipline their children, and school teachers who aren't allowed to discipline the kids. So the only answer, according to the authorities, is to now drug the children. Our society is creating mentally ill people. It's creating them. It's not fixing them. Listen closely. Think with me. Every boy in my first grade class, from first through sixth grade, every boy had ADD. You understand? None of us took drugs. The teacher had Ritalin, but it was a paddle. You understand? And it was short term, and it worked for about 2 hours, and then you needed another dose. So I like what one school principal said. He said, this is my BB knocker. He said, their little BBs get to bouncing around in their brain. He said, and they need it, pow, knocked back into place. Did you know back then, nobody had ever heard of ADD. We just heard of kids that needed to be spanked. Amen? Paddling, okay, nobody looked at us as abused either. Oh, you're abusing those kids. Nobody was abused. And we also didn't have school shootings and stabbings either. Okay? God's Word has the answer. We've learned as we've looked in several lessons that the real problem with our thinking processes, God does describe in the Bible. We've learned about God's commandments for the mind. Love the Lord thy God with all thy mind. We've seen in the Bible that God expects us to control our mind, and our mind is not supposed to control us. We're supposed to capture our thoughts. Tonight, we're not denying that there are people with real broken minds, just like you can break an arm or have a heart attack. There are people with real broken minds. Their brains are damaged. They're not capable of governing or controlling their thoughts, maybe because of an accident or a birth defect or whatever, but there are real people like that. What I'm trying to do tonight is encourage you to do everything God tells you to do in His Word before you allow atheists and evolutionists to prescribe mind-altering medication to you. That's the purpose of the sermons. So tonight, God does so many things for us when He saves us. When you placed your faith in Christ, that's how come we come to church, right? We're learning about, you'll never understand everything God did when He saved you. But we're learning about it. It's fun to study the blood. Our sins are washed away. Well, what a beautiful topic. Tonight we're looking at the mind God gives us. If you can keep your finger in 2 Timothy, can you go to 2 Peter? 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. We'll come back to 2 Timothy, but 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm glad our messages go on our website and we can use these as references later on. Amen. When you need to hear them again or you need to help somebody or encourage somebody. 2 Peter chapter 1 and look at verse 2. Ready? Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now watch this. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things. I have underlined in my Bible all things. What did God give you when He saved you? All things. You don't understand everything He gave you, but He gave you everything you need to live the Christian life. Our failure is we don't use what God gives us, but the shortcoming is not on God's side. Amen? The Bible says, He's given me everything. Keep on reading. Watch this. It says here, all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. So God's given us everything. Notice verse 4. Whereby, in other words, because of this, are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these, by the promises, ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. It's because of this verse that we sing the song, Standing on the promises of Christ, my King. I'm doing what? Standing on the promises God's given me. I'm living my life by the promises of God. That's what's mentioned there in verse 4. God gives you, you can go back to 2 Timothy chapter 1 now. God gives you His pure word, the King James Bible, when you get saved. God gives you the Holy Ghost to regenerate you and live inside you until you die. Then you get to go home to be with Him in glory. He gives you forgiveness of sins and a home in heaven. And just, I've had this for a while and I like thinking about it. In Christ, I have, as a Christian, an acceptance that can never be questioned. An assurance that can never be disappointed. I have a bank that can never be closed. I've got comfort that can never be lessened. Deliverance that can never be thwarted. I've got a forgiveness that can never be resigned. I've got glory that can never be dimmed. In Christ Jesus, I have grace that can never be arrested, hope that can never be disappointed, an inheritance that can never be alienated, and an intercessor who can never be disqualified. I've got a joy that can never be suppressed. I've got judgment that can never be repeated, and justification that can never be reversed. I have a life that is always abundant in Christ. And I have a love that can never be abated. I've got a nature that can never be changed. And I've got a peace that can never be destroyed. I've got a portion that can never be denied. And I've got a possession that can never be measured. A power that can never be exhausted. A resource that can never be diminished. A resurrection that can never be hindered. And a revelation that can never be destroyed. I have a righteousness that can never be tarnished, a salvation that can never be annulled, a seal that can never be broken or violated, and I've got a service that can never be unrewarded. I've got a standing that can never be disputed, a strength that can never be impaired, and a title that can never be clouded. I've got a victor who can never be vanquished, and I've got a wealth that can never be depleted. In Christ Jesus, I have everything. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad you're saved? God gives us everything. One of the things God gives us, praise the Lord, we're going to look at tonight, is a sound mind. Notice 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. We read it before, but for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. I love making this statement. God never leads you with fear. When you're scared is a horrible time to make a decision. You can know when I'm fearful and scared, that's when I need to just bring everything to a halt and I don't need to make any decisions. God does not lead me out of fear. He doesn't lead anybody. Why are you doing what you're doing? Well, this could happen and the devil's spooking you. Slow down. Stop. Don't make any decisions when you're scared. Just back up, breathe, and ask God to fill you with His Holy Spirit and get away from the fear. Back up. God hath not given us the spirit of fear. But what has God given us? The spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, before we look at the sound mind, God gives us the spirit of power. What are you talking about? Can you take your Bible and go to Acts chapter 26? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, chapter 26. Just want to show you this. God's given us the spirit of power, the spirit of love, and the spirit of a sound mind. Acts chapter 26, verse 18. So fear has nothing. Fear is not supposed to have anything to do with my decision-making process in the Christian life. Acts chapter 26, verse 18 says this. To open their eyes and watch and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. God says, before you got saved, you were under the power of Satan. Now that you're saved, one of the things you have is the power of God. You may not access that power, but you've been given that power. Whether you do what your flesh wants you to do or what God wants you to do, you've been given the spirit of power. What power? The power of God. That happened to you when you got saved. That's one of the things God gives us. Just listen to these verses. Ye shall receive power. power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. How about this? 1 Corinthians 1:24. Christ, the power of God. When you got Christ in you, He gave you His power. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. What a verse. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe? According to the working of His mighty power. You have power accessible to you. Whether you use it or not is whether you yield yourself to God or not. But God gave you power when He saved you. Power. How about this verse? One more verse. Philippians 3:10. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. The power that brings death back to life. I can access that as a Christian because of what God's given me. Now watch this. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God hasn't given you fear, but He's given you the spirit of power. That's the power of God. And the spirit of love. Take your Bible and let's just look at this. Just Luke. Matthew, Mark, Luke chapter 9. Watch this. Luke chapter 9. This isn't the message tonight, but it's wonderful to think about and meditate what God's given you when He saved you. The only reason we don't use it is because we don't realize God's given it to us. You can't use a resource you don't know you have, right? It's just wonderful what God's given us. Luke chapter 9, look at verse 54. Ready? So God's given us the spirit of power. That happened when we got saved, and the spirit of love. Verse 54, and when His disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, wilt Thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? Jesus walks into a town, and the town doesn't want anything to do with Jesus. So nobody wants to hear Jesus preach, and His disciples are with Him. And so James and John say, Lord, we ought to just call fire down and kill everybody here. Now, I'm not going to tell you I haven't been tempted to think that. But notice what Jesus says to the disciples after they say, God, let's just have a prayer meeting right here and just pray God rains down fire and kills everybody. Notice the next verse. But He, Jesus, turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. He said, you're not supposed to be thinking that way. Look, if the multimedia and Hollywood, and they want to cuss God and tell us that the Bible's only for mentally weak people, let the heathen rage. They will believe the Bible one day. But it's not supposed to, well, we just take machine guns and mow them all down. No, we don't either. Does what they say make me angry? Sure. I get infuriated. I don't like the heathenism. But I also know, God, in the end, I've already read the back of the book. We win. Amen? Let the heathen rage. No, I'm not supposed to have a spirit or an attitude of, well, you know, and I, well, then fine. If you want to cuss God, I'll just go ahead and pray God kills you right now. Notice what the next verse says. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. If somebody wants to mock God and cuss God, they'll die and go to hell, and that's their fault. That's their choice. Let the heathen rage, but I'm not supposed to seek to get even for God. God can handle it, right? We've been given the spirit of love, and isn't that neat? Jesus looks at His disciples and says, you don't know what, He said, your attitude or your spirit is all wrong. I don't give you that spirit. I give you the spirit of love and help, and if they want your help, they'll take it, and if not, you move on. Amen? And you go find somebody that needs God and is looking for the Lord and who God's working with. Let the heathen rage. But no, you're not supposed to get vengeance for God. On that thought, God gives us the spirit of power, and now we're looking at the spirit of love. With that, knowing that, just listen. Jesus said in John 13:34, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. That ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are My disciples, if ye have love one to another. How about Romans 5:5? And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. How about 1 Corinthians 13:13? And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity or love in action. The greatest. And finally, 1 Thessalonians 4:9 says, "But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another." So God gives us the spirit of power. That happened at salvation. He gives us the spirit of love. And then notice in 2 Timothy 1:7, the last part is, He's given us a sound mind. Now, if you understand, I just wanted you to think about those. I'd like you to be able to go home and read your Bible and think about that. Wow, look at what God's given me. This sound mind. How fast does it take for you to get the sound mind that God gives you? I mean, if you're loony before and your mind is broken, how fast can this mind that God gives you, can you access it? Go to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. How fast does God make this sound mind available to you when you get saved? Luke chapter 8. Look at verse 26. Luke chapter 8. I love this story. I love Mark chapter 5, which is the parallel passage. Luke chapter 8, and look at verse 26. "And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs." That's how come we say, if you're close to God, you put your clothes on, but the closer, but the more people get involved with devilish, nasty stuff, the more clothes they take off, right? Here's a man filled with devils, and he's not wearing any clothes. So nudity, we could say, is very demonic and satanic. It's wrong. There's nothing Christian about taking it. There is plenty of Christian about putting clothes on and keeping your body covered, being decent. And ours, as we watch our society, so watch this. Verse 28, "And when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and with a loud voice said, 'What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not.'" So according to this declaration, devils have more truth in acknowledging Jesus Christ is the Son of God than atheists do. Devils have more sense than atheists. God tells us atheists are fools. Devils know that atheists are fools also. They know who Jesus is. These devils believe in a future judgment in hell. Did you know there's so-called churches that don't believe in hell? Isn't that wild? Devils believe in hell, but there's some churches that don't. Look at verse 29. "For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oft times it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, 'What is thy name?' And he said, 'Legion,' because many devils were entered into him, and they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep." In other words, don't send us with no form to go into. Don't just send us into nothingness, into the deep. He says here, "And there was a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain, and they besought the devils besought him that he would allow or suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them." So here's devils saying, don't send us just out of this man. Please send us into those hogs, okay, that are feeding. Now, the question you should have when you read your Bible is, here he is, Gadarenes, he's in Israel. What are Jews doing with a herd of pigs? This is unclean food. Now, that's why you feel sorry for Jews, because they can't eat bacon or sausage or nothing like that. Amen? No biscuits and gravy. I think biscuits and gravy is going to be in heaven. Amen? Okay, up there, everything's clean, all right? But here, there's a whole herd of swine, and the devils say, send us into those pigs over there. And the moment those devils leave that man into all those swine, isn't it amazing? These hogs won't put up with any devil in them, and they run right over the cliff and then plunge into the water. Which tells me this, too. Here we are in beach country. In your Bible, the only thing that ever runs to the beach with a towel and sunscreen are devil-possessed hogs. Can't you see them? Can't you see them running to the beach? Wee, 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 wee. Okay, here, let's get back to the passage here. All right, let's quit applying scripture and just read the Bible. Okay, ready? Watch this. Verse 33, then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. So you could say that these deviled hams committed suicide. No, okay, I'll stop. Verse 34, ready? I'm just trying to help you, all right? Verse 34, when they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Notice verse 35. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed. Watch. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Glory to God. This man hadn't received any pastoral counseling. And he definitely had never seen a psychiatrist. The only reason, that tells me this, the only reason he immediately got access, this man was devil-possessed for a long time. He was out of his mind for years. He gets saved, he meets Jesus, and he has access to that sound mind that God gives you at salvation immediately. Immediately. The only reason a saved child of God doesn't access the sound mind that God gives you at salvation is because you don't believe that God gave you a sound mind. You don't access then what God, because you don't believe it. This is the same. Take your Bible and go to Romans 6. We'll keep looking here, but I just want to take a little side note on purpose. Watch this. Romans chapter 6. If you would believe God gave you a sound mind, then you would use what God gives you. But because you don't believe God gives it to you, you don't access it. So you think, well, that's just the way I am. That's just the way, you know, that's how I was raised. And I was raised a certain way too. But there are certain things I'm not supposed to do that I did. I access the mind of Christ because I believe God gave it to me. And I can think kooky and weird. And every thought that comes to my mind is not a blessing. There's some thoughts I'm supposed to shut down. I am not going to, but I also have a sound mind, right? Just like you do. Look at Romans chapter 6. Understanding this principle, look at verse 6. Ready? Romans 6, verse 6. Knowing this, see, you know with your mind. What you know with your brain, right? You can't believe anything you don't understand. So he says, knowing this, knowing what? That our old man is crucified with him, with Jesus, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Another key word here, watch verse 11. Likewise, reckon. What a word. Now, we use the word reckon like, you know, you going to the store today? Well, I reckon. That's not the way your Bible uses the word reckon. The word reckon is to be absolutely sure and to come to a conclusion. Have you ever heard of the day of reckoning? That's the day of measurement and adding figures, where an absolute figure, the day of reckoning, is the day of judgment. God says, for you to live the Christian life, you have to know that your old man was crucified with Christ, and you reckon what? Come to an absolute, set truth. What's it say? Ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And just like you would access a sound mind, because that's what God gave you, and you believe God, then watch this. I know I'm talking spiritually, but I'm trying to help you with your thinking. Here God says, you reckon that you're freed from sin. In other words, you should reckon as a Christian, there's no sin you have to commit. You're freed from sin. The sins you commit are because you want to, not because you have to. Isn't that good to know? He says, reckon. And Romans 6 is a wonderful chapter in your Bible to teach you about breaking bad habits. If you have bad habits, you overcome them by knowing that I have a choice now. There's nothing I have to do. I don't care if you're talking about smoking or a drug addiction or all of that. You reckon yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, and I now have a choice. That, do you understand how believing and the mind that God gave you lets you access it? It also lets you access freedom in the Christian life. You reckon yourself to be dead indeed unto sin. Go to Philippians chapter 3. While you're going there, let me finish this thought on accessing immediately the mind God gave you, a sound mind. I am not trying to make light of any past experiences that anybody has ever had that's caused despair, fear, or depression. There are people who've been through some horrible things. Every day you can read, there's nothing in the news you can read about. Let me give you an instance. I have a hard time putting my place in the place of angel parents. Have you heard of those? They're parents who've lost a child because an illegal alien, someone who's not supposed to be in our country, came to this country and killed their child. I've watched the interviews with them. I've listened to them. I could not imagine that. You've heard President Trump mention them. You've heard them mentioned on Fox News. But to think of losing a child, it's bad enough when the person's supposed to be here in America. But somebody that's not supposed to be here, and then you find out that they're a repeat offender and that they were sent back and they were allowed back into the States again and they killed your kid? I tried to go there mentally, and it blows my mind. That, to me, that is what a horrible thing. What a horrible thing to just live with. Amen? That's crippling. I would like to say tonight, praise God for His grace. I know Christians who've been through horrible things. This man that we looked at in Luke 8 lived in the tombs for years. He was tormented by the devil. He was cutting himself. He had blood all over his body. And in two verses, his mind is okay. In two verses. That tells me it's available to every person that gets saved, but this doesn't happen to every person who gets saved. I know Christians that get saved and they don't access anything God gives them. They just keep floundering. No one tonight is making small or light of any horrible thing that has happened in the past. But if you'll focus your attitude and your devotion on the Lord instead of living in the past, you can move on. You can move on. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Ready? Look at verse 6. Ready? Philippians chapter 3 and verse 6. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law. Blameless, Paul is giving his credentials here. Notice it says when he persecuted the church. That means he tortured and killed Christians before he got saved. While quoting them the Bible. Paul was one of the first Christian killers in the Bible. Jews were. Jews killed Christians and then the Romans took it over. Right? Okay? Paul is saying here, I killed Christians. And then he's going to show you how he moved on. Can you imagine? How did Paul live with himself? How did Paul stand and preach to churches where before he had persecuted? You can't tell me. I've often pictured Paul preaching and there's a woman and her kids sitting here. And I don't know, maybe they took up a love offering for Paul after he was done preaching. I don't know. We'll find out when we get to heaven. I'm speculating right now. But I just wonder if Paul, you can't tell me watching that woman and those kids knowing he killed her husband. How did he live with himself? I wonder if he said, just give that offering to her. He had a past. He had a lot of luggage, amen, to serve the Lord with. I think his memories haunted him. Watch this. Verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. This passage teaches you so much. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung or manure that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, Notice how he deals with it, verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. You got to watch this. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, I'm living for the judgment seat of Christ, verse 12, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. I love that. In the phrasing, how God tells us that in the Bible, he says, I'm trying to apprehend or seize Jesus for the same reason he apprehended or seized me. I've been saved for a purpose, and I get past my baggage, show you that here in the next verse, by trying to focus on what Jesus saved me to do. And yes, I have my memories to deal with, but I'm trying to focus on the Lord. Look at verse number 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. No one's arrived. But this one thing I do. Watch. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. One thing you can learn about your mind tonight from this passage. How did Paul get past killing Christians? He says, I've decided in my mind I'm going to move on. I don't dwell on it. I don't dwell on it. Ask the World War II veterans that are saved. What are you looking forward to heaven about heaven most? Many of them will tell you. Ask the Vietnam vets. I'm looking forward to when I get to heaven, when I lay my head down at night, I won't see the faces of the men I've killed anymore. He said, when you squeeze rounds into a man's chest that's coming at you with a gun, you watch the light go out of their eyes, you never forget that face. Yet there's vets who don't dwell with it right, and they commit suicide. There's other vets that end up having a family, and they go to church, and they serve the Lord. How do they do it? They apply Philippians. I forget those things which are behind. And God's not saying you don't deny it, you just don't dwell on it. You don't keep focusing on it. You move on with your life. You focus on your kids. You focus on your marriage. You focus on what God saved you to do. You don't just sit. If you want, you can be like that crazy man in Luke chapter 8, but you don't have to stay naked and screaming. That man could have in the tombs when Jesus saved him, but he decided, you know what? I'm going to put some clothes on and I'm going to move on with my life. So God's not asking us to live in denial of our past. God is saying, in your mind, move on. Move on. Forget those things. Don't dwell on them. Don't dwell on them. Now, our society has a twisted view, and it encourages people to dwell on the negative. When you make everybody a victim, if you have a sound mind and you're an able body and you provide for your family and you have a good job and you go to church and you have a roof over your head, you're considered the enemies of society. Listen, manhood is not toxic. Amen? Somebody needs to say that. Every wife likes to be treated nicely by her husband. Chivalry, opening the door. That's not toxic. Men like to go hunting. Men like to kill things. Amen? Stress them out too much and they kill too much. That's not a woman thing. In other words, they're saying, well, all this talk, that they're trying to make our society down on men because they want it run by women because you can control women. Men make up the warriors of society. They don't want men that fight back. So as our society pushes against manhood and being a man, in our society, if you're a homosexual or a transgender or a pedophile, you're seen as a hero because you've had the guts to come out about your filth. Everything's backwards. Capitalism is seen as evil. Socialism is seen as the norm. And if you have anything, look, if you have anything, it isn't according to our society, it's not because you worked hard to get it, it's because you're privileged. What in the world? No, if you have stuff, it's because you worked hard to get it. It's because you know how to show up at work on time. It's because you know how to push yourself. It's because you know how to drive yourself. What do you white privilege? All this stuff, all this racial stuff is garbage. We're watching it destroy our society. And there's no good that's coming from it. Make sure your instructions for life are coming from the Bible, not Hollywood. Take your Bible, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's look at a few more. So we've seen that if you're saved, you have a sound mind. Now watch this. So you have a sound mind. We've seen that you have instant access to it. You can access the mind that God gives you anytime you want. Or you can live in the flesh. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Look at verse 14. This like upgrades everything. You'll like this. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual or saved judgeth all things. Yet he himself is judged of no man. Notice verse 16. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Watch. But we have the mind of Christ. So you've been given a sound mind. You can immediately access it. And what is that mind? It's the mind to think like the Lord Jesus, if you'll read your Bible. Isn't that wonderful? We have the mind of Christ. Because everything is immediate in our society, from medication to fast food, we become impatient. And we want immediate spirituality. But can I tell you, there's nothing spiritual that's immediate. The Lord gives us everything we need, but we're learning as we read our Bibles, as we go to church, we're learning how to use what God gives us when He saves us. Matthew chapter 15. Go to Matthew chapter 15. You say, well, what happens if you don't use the sound mind that God gives you? Here's what happens. Matthew chapter 15. Look at verse 17. Matthew 15 and verse 17. Matthew 15, verse 17. Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the drought? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed, what's the first thing? Evil thoughts. Evil thoughts. Then what else proceeds out of the heart? Murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man or make your life dirty. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. You either use what God gives you and the sound mind and you control your mind, or, look, before the action comes the thought. Nobody kills anybody before they meditate on it over and over again. No rape ever happens before it's thought on over and over again. No robbery ever takes place before it's meditated on and every detail is thought through. Everybody understand? The thought comes before the action. And you either control your mind or out of your heart proceed evil thoughts. No, you need to access the mind Christ gives you. Watch this. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 9. Go to Proverbs in the middle of your Bible, Psalms, Proverbs. I like this thought. I have this written down in my Bible. Since God sees your thoughts and God sees what you meditate on and what you fantasize about and what you imagine, what kind of a home do you make God live in? See, to us, they're thoughts. They're like immaterial. You can put your hands through them. To God, they're real objects. So what do you make God live in? Good thought, isn't it? It'll help you. Look at Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs 24, ready? Verse 9. Proverbs 24, verse 9. The thought of foolishness is sin. You need to meditate on that and just think about it. Let me give you a thought. God says to break His laws and His commandments, that is sin. But God also says if your thoughts are not governed by the Word of God, that's a sin. What's foolishness? It's thoughts not guided by the Word of God. The thought of foolishness is sin. I like to play around. I don't think this is talking about having a sense of humor or liking to laugh. I think if what you laugh at, it needs to be clean. Amen. Doesn't need to draw bad pictures in your mind that you regret. Amen. But the thought of foolishness, God says, control your mind. Let's go and go to Psalm. You're in Proverbs. Go back to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. You know, the Super Bowl's coming up, and I just got to pay tribute to it as a pastor. I could care less. We might have to cancel it because of security. I hope they do. I lost respect for it when they were kneeling. Now they've got cheerleaders that are kneeling. I hope the whole sport tanks. And you say, but it's American. I'd rather watch college football any day when they're not getting paid for it. I know they're working for the big paycheck, but the attitude is different. And I have no respect for the sport whatsoever now. I personally think our country's going mentally ill. I wrote this down. I believe if a minister or a priest is convicted of molesting a child, they shouldn't go to jail. They should be publicly executed. Save taxpayer money. Just execute them. You do wrong with a child, you do wickedly with a child, this is what happens to you. I promise you it'd drop. The statistics would drop. But we've got to put them in jail for 30 years and all this other garbage. Did you know that there's... Here, let me show you how mentally ill we are as a nation. There's more teachers molesting students in the public school system than there are religious leaders molesting children. I know that that's a fact. We've heard about that all over the news, priests molesting kids and all this, but there's more teachers molesting children in the public school system. Listen closely. But all you hear about is how wonderful our public education system is and how outdated and evil church is. That's backwards. That's just, they're not telling you everything. I think our country is losing its mind. And, Psalm 139. Watch this. If you let God be your psychiatrist and we sit on God's couch for the night, watch Psalm 139, verses 1 through 2. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Watch this. Thou understandest my thought afar off. It doesn't say God. Yes, God knows your mind. The Bible says that Jesus knew the thoughts. He perceived their thoughts. He could read their minds. Yes, God knows what you're thinking. But here it says, God understands your thought. That means this. God knows how we think. God knows how we work. He knows how He made us. The best person then to turn your mind over to would be the Lord. Amen? Because He understands you like no one else does. You can take every problem you have to the Lord, and you can take, if you're bothered by something. I've woken up in the middle of the night. I've woken up at 2, and sometimes I'll wake up every hour. Sometimes I'll have somebody on my mind that tells me, I just take it this, and sometimes it's a problem, but sometimes it's somebody, and I feel I'm supposed to pray for them. I'll pray for them. I take it to the Lord. I take it to the Lord. Take it to God in prayer. I tell you what, you're in Psalm. Can you go to one of the minor prophets? I know nobody likes going here. Amos chapter 4. Amos chapter 4. And look at verse number 12. Watch this. Amos chapter 4. Therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Watch verse 13. For lo, he that formeth the mountains and createth the wind and declareth unto man what is his thought. God says, I made the mountains, I made the wind, and I can govern your thoughts. I can help you with your mind. I can help you think straight. If I do have, that tells me this tonight, if I do have a chemical imbalance, God would be the one who knows what the balance should be. Amen? You say, why would you say that? It sounds like you're against psychologists. I was preaching in a church and the pastor had just been put on medication. He didn't tell me what it was, but I sat up here. He said, brother, I want you to sing about 4 songs. He said, then I'll come up and give some announcements. And he said, then I want you to come up and preach. This was in Missouri about 25 years ago. I'll never forget this. He sat right here. I'm playing the guitar and playing. He sat here and things weren't right. I got done singing a song, and he came up, and he just gets up, and he goes, brother, would you sing that song again? It helps me. And he went back, sat down. The doctors gave him the wrong medication. They switched it one more time. I found this out from his wife. They switched it one more time the following week, and that one fried his brain. He quit the ministry. He couldn't think anymore. They're practicing medicine. They're guessing at what they're giving people. They're not saying, we know that this is exactly what'll fix you. And in his case, it made him worse and it cooked his brain. That's what scares me about psychology. That's why when somebody tells me, I've had so many people in my Sunday school class tell me, I was on depression medication, they put me on the wrong one, and they're experimenting with me, and they're working at getting it right. You know how many times I hear that from people? That's what scares me. That's why I hope these sermons and these truths, and look, us looking in the Bible at this subject, you'd give God a chance before you give the medical world a chance. When it comes to a broken arm, they know how to fix it. Amen? When it comes to surgery, hey, praise God, heart surgery, I'm for all that. When it comes to this, your brain, they don't know what they're doing. They're guessing. You need to know that. Amen? And if you're willing to go that, I'm not against it, but my question is this. Did you do what God told you to do with your mind first? That does not have to be the first thing you try. Please use what God gave you. Please use what God gave you. Psalm 73, verse 24, just listen to this. God says, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Psalm 119, verse 24 says, thy testimonies are also my delight and my counselors. Isaiah 26, verse 3 and 4 says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Before you take the medicine, can I ask you this question? Have you ever put your mind on the Lord and kept it there? Have you ever put your mind on the Bible and kept it there and kept it and focused on it? Shut the TV off and focus on God's Word and let it sink into your life. Let it meditate on it. And if you haven't done that yet, God says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Whose mind is stayed on thee. Until you trust God, we can't diagnose you if you're mentally ill or are you mentally unwilling. God gives us, praise the Lord, a sound mind. He gives you a right mind and he gives you immediate access to it. We've read tonight, you have the mind of Christ. Whether you use it or not, that's your choice. Amen, and I hope you do. The name of the message is The Mind God Gives Us Through Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, please.